Will be from Ephesians, second chapter, verses 4 through 9. That is, I'm not sure what page it is in your Bible, but you know where Ephesians is. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. The word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your rich word, Father God. We thank you for your rich mercy. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your great grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, to come to you through faith in Jesus Christ, there is nothing greater, there is nothing better. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray that my words will be your words, my thoughts your thoughts. Anything that is of good that I speak, Lord God, that it is from you and because of you. And so, Father, we rest upon that. We pray that you would just teach us what you would have us taught this morning. We thank you, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now, Dick, you can't answer this question. In 1923, something happened. Archaeologist Howard Carter discovered King Tut's tomb. That's right. Nice, nice. All full of scholars around here. So anyway, so he came to finally found King Tut's tomb. And so he find the tomb, and there's this large sarcophagus. Yes. I think that's how you say that. Thank you, sarcophagus, thank you. You can just edit that, Dennis. And so they come to this, it's made of cypress wood, large. You're like, oh, right, this has got to be it. So they go to it, and they take off the lid, the cover of it, put it to the side. And they look inside, and there's another coffin, man-shaped. And it's beautiful. It's got some gold inlay in it, and it's got some beads and some carvings on it. They're like, oh. And they go, let's take it off. They go in there. Pick it up, lift it off, and there's another coffin in there. And it's even more beautiful. And again, more inlaid gold and more beads. It's just beautiful. Comes off another one, solid gold, a solid gold coffin. Beads and jewels. It's amazing. They're like, wow. And they go, let's go. They take that off, and then there it is. The mask of King Tut. We've all seen that, right? Some of you have seen that? The golden mask of King Tut, showing his visage, showing what he looked like. And he's got the scepters there, and there's more jewels, and there's more beads. And it's just like, they're just like, well, this is wonderful. And then, take off the face mask of the king. They do. They look inside. What do they see? A decayed, mummified, weathered body. All of King Tut's wealth, all of his worth, if you will, was being shown on the outside. But yet inside was just this old, decayed, dead husk. Today's world likes to dress itself up, does it not? People want to be Hollywood perfect, right? The best clothes, the best things, the best car, the best house, the best no matter what it is. Human nature wants to see, for us to see for you to see the best of what we are, what we think that we are. But see, when we want to show the world through those sorts of things the best of us, many times we're hiding what's the worst of us. Human nature wants to show these possessions, show these things off, wants to show off our pride, our ego, how intelligent I am, our bodies. There's a time in my life when I had the decaying wretch of a man that I was with some of those outside things as well, too. There's a time in my life when I used drugs and alcohol and other things because I was covering that decayed self that I was inside. As I did those things, I thought it was covering what I really felt about myself inside. And that would show a different Tim. Show the world a different me. You know what? That really did not work very well. Don't do it. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of the Garden of Eden, they, and us, lost the innocence of how God made us and them. And we, all of us together, became corrupted with that original sin. Have you ever thought, why did God create us? It's not because he needed us. It's not because he needed us. Acts 17, 24 and 25 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mankind life, breath, and everything." All right? He didn't need us. It's not because God was lonely. Long before he made Adam and Eve, he had who with him? His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. He already had the perfect company to be with. It's not because of his ego, because God has no ego. I mean, God is God. He's totally secure in who he is. Does not need to prove anything to anybody or any way. He is God. We were created out of love. You were created out of love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." John 4:8 says, "God is love." We were created to fulfill his eternal plan for mankind. But as the Garden of Eden, when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve with the fruit, that same spiritual battle, that's what that was, a spiritual battle, that same spiritual battle goes on with you and I today. Every day, I would say, it is with me. That spiritual battle goes on to us, even as saved people and even as unsaved people, there's a battle going on. Now, I want you to know that I'm not saying that you can't have good things, you can't be blessed, you can't have riches, you can't have nice things, cars, house, whatever, you know. Dicks a lot of nice houses to nice people, that's okay. It's not what I'm saying. There's no sin in being rich. There's no sin because we're born here in the United States of America. I mean, some of us have been in mission trips, and I think that, you know, you go, wow, but by the grace of God, we were born here at this time. But God knew that, right? And God has us here at this time, in this place, in this country. Wonder why sometimes, huh? Think, ask yourself that question. It's no sin to have nice things. We do nice things for our family. There's nothing wrong with that. Our churches and our ministries need you. We need those who've got extra money. Help support them to do the things that God would will those ministries to do, to further the kingdom of God. And the Gideons, we have something called the Faith Fund. We have 201 countries that we put Bibles into the world with, okay? There's about 30 countries that support all the Bibles going into those 201 countries, all right? So they're going to use the rich people of America and England and France and Germany and Australia and on we go to provide funds to get God's word into people's hands all across the whole world, that his kingdom may be expanded. It's good. It's okay. But it's where we're going to put our priorities in, right? So what I'm asking is, do we get our worth from those things? Do those things become something that we are serving? Or something that they are serving us, right? Are we serving money? Or is money serving us to be a good servant of that money to go where God would have it go? These are attitudes that we have in a way that we can hide. How do we get our worth from, okay? These things, these attitudes. But yet, I know for myself, again, the quiet time, and I can have all this extraneous, all this outside showing of stuff, but in my quiet time, in my alone time, my inside time, if you will, where's my worth at? What's my worth telling me? Let me say that we can pay a very high price for finding our significance in anything or person other than Jesus Christ. Other than Jesus Christ. Okay, I want to share 3 points this morning regarding our worth, your worth, this morning. Renew, remember, and run the race. Renew. Reading of the psalm this morning that Dick told us about is, he said that we were wonderfully made by God himself. That God knows each one of us intimately, and that we were formed by him out of his love for us. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Wow. We were all made by God out of his love, and you were made for a reason. You're made for a reason. There's a saying that says, God don't make no junk, right? You guys remember that saying? I may have just dated myself, but whatever. But he doesn't. None of us are junk. None of us are. We are his creation. We are to be used by him in the ways that he would divine to use us for his purposes. But to do all that, we have to first become renewed in him. We turn to God by accepting Jesus Christ in our life as our Lord and as our Savior. When we receive Christ, we go from, and get this, we go from his creation, okay, created, we accept Christ as Savior, creation to his child. His child. You as a believer are God's child. Many of us have children of our own and grandchildren. Remember that? I remember that first time with my eldest daughter Danielle, and I held her in my arms after her birth. I'm like, my child. So God is with us. But even better, our worth is not based on what other people say about us. Our worth is not based on the things that we have. Our worth is based on our belief and dependence on Jesus Christ. In the psalm reading, the wording said, are fearfully and wonderfully made. In your book were written. We are told that God's creation, that we are God's creation, that we are God's possession. These are things that God has done for us. Okay? He made us wonderfully. He's written things in the book that we have no idea what they are yet. But they're written in the book. All right? That's how well he knows us. If we have doubts of God's love for us, or if we have doubts that we're not valuable to God, those aren't heavenly thoughts. Those doubts are coming from the enemy, from Satan himself. Because let me say, Jesus dying on the cross for our sins should tell us how valuable we really are. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins is full of worthiness and worth and magnificence. And we shouldn't doubt that. We should cling on to that. He did that for you individually, me individually. Don't doubt. Think of when you first came to Christ. Some of you were probably 5 or 6 years old. Some of you were teenagers. Myself, I was 28 years old. Some of you maybe were in your 40s or 50s or 60s. Okay? It's great that he brings us to him in all these different parts of our lives and when he does. But the thing is that sometimes with me, that when I have those battles, those doubts of worth, I sometimes have that old junk from when I was BC, before a Christian. I got some of those old thoughts, those old messages, those old things that just come flying in and tells me that I'm worthless. Or because of things that I did. Worthless. Our old worth and our old self-esteem battles against our new worth in Christ. That's that spiritual battle that goes on in each one of us, okay? But when we realize the full realization and get a proper perspective of who we are in Christ, okay? We rest upon the worth of Christ, okay? I know that I was a sinner deserving of death. Nothing I could do on my own could change that. But that was when I came to that renewing of my life through Jesus Christ, accepting God's grace of love through Jesus Christ. And when we do that in our lives, we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit into our soul, into our heart. We have God within us at that time. And so we have a worth that is amazing. Because we have the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit worthy? Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." Do you remember when you were made new in Christ? Do you remember that? That feeling. Your heart, your mind, your soul. It changed, didn't it? Remember. Remember. So to go forth on our daily walk, it was buffeted by the things of the world, and at times as I get wrapped up in them. I get wrapped up in work stuff. I get wrapped up in busyness stuff. I get wrapped up in the bad messages coming to me from television, watching the wrong show. I got people, you know, as a boss, you're not said, not nice things get said to you sometimes by the people who work for you, right? I hear all that, and I get all that stuff buffeting me, right? Okay? And so I struggle with that. As we are going to struggle with the things that we're buffeted by the world, but we have to remember who we are in Christ. At that time, we came to know him, and that we're going to struggle until the day that we're called home. Life's a struggle. Your worth, my worth, is challenged on a daily basis by the things of this world, by the people, by the television, by the magazines, by Satan himself. He's backing at us. Church that we attend to up north, older lady there, asked me to visit with her son. He's in his 40s. He's a Christian, but he's been struggling a lot. So I said, yes, I would do that. So I've made the trip to stop at his business a couple separate times to counsel with him, to share with him, to hopefully encourage, edify with him. And as I was speaking to him, he had struggles about his worth in Christ. That's what it came down to. And so I shared with him some of the things that I'm talking about here. And I shared with him about Jesus Christ that would not have sacrificed himself in an unworthy way, not to give us as sinners great worth, that we can't forget that. And I could sense that he'd just forgotten about his Christly worth in him because of the junk of the world. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ died for us. He died for our sins. God would not and did not send him to a worthless death. So if Christ's death and the resurrection was full of God's worth. This is done for you and I. We should not diminish that. I should not diminish that fact. I should try to live as well as I can in full rejoicing of that worth that I have, that you have, that we have in Christ. Is it hard sometimes? Positively. Do we fail? Positively. But remember who's in us. We can go to Him and He will help us. I believe that we need to live our life in a manner showing the true joy we have in Christ. I've known Christians, maybe some of you do as well, and they're kind of that, you know, they're saved, but kind of like that sour, dour Christian. I'm not going to crack a smile. I'm just going to be all businesslike. I'm just going to be all, What's that telling people? Where's the attraction in that? I'll tell you one thing, you do that, I ain't going to hang around with you. Not for very long. Who do we have sour and dour times in our life? Positively. And then we come at that time and we love onto those people. Okay? But don't let it be your life forever. I know people who say they're low down pieces of dirt. They are. And we all are, right? We all were as sinners, okay? But I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins and being raised up to show your power over death. We all know that we are a skunk to God's nostrils in our sin. All right? But I must, because of my salvation in Christ, portray the change that was made in me. I realize what I was before, and I realize what I am today in Christ. Not anything I did, anything that you can do in your life, but because of Jesus Christ. I got a buddy who does all our car repair and Eagle and whatnot, and I witnessed to the man, whatever, he's not a saved guy, but he's a good guy, all that sort of stuff. But he invited me to his Christmas party that's always held in January. And I've gone to it before in the past. And, you know, it's a good time, you know. A lot of drinking. A lot of swearing. Good food. And I've gone to in the past. It's just kind of like, you know, I just feel kind of like, you know, the odd guy out, if you will, you know. So it was last night, and Diane says to me in the afternoon, she goes, "We're going to go to Matt's party." And I'm like, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." Because you see, how could I go to that party the night before I was going to come and preach here, number one? That would not be cool. What if I saw one of you there? What would that have done for my worth? I'd have been hanging around guys, gals, macho stuff, eagle stuff going on. Something could have been said to me, and also my old self would go, "What did you say?" And also I'm doing, what? What's that? I don't want to be part of that. See, my worth isn't in the things of the world anymore. It's in Christ. On our own, we can do nothing. In Him, we can do everything. That's in His will for us to do. Our worth, my worth, comes from serving Him. Now, it's good to remember, and we should remember where we came from. You remember where we were, the unsaved person that we once were. A couple of reasons. Number one, you will see the growth that Christ has done in you as He's moving you down your path of life as a believer, okay? See the blessings, see the changes, and rejoice in them for God's sake. And that's cool. It's good to reflect back on that. Good to remember what we once were, because when we witness to somebody else, when we share with somebody else, okay, about Jesus Christ, we're not going to be all holier than thou, you know, as you talk down to them. No, same level. When I talk to men in the jail, those guys know that I was never in jail, but I was where they were at. But by the grace of God, I was never put in jail. But they know. They talked about drugs, talked about alcohol, talked about the things that go on in that running type of life. They're like, "Dude, you've been there." I'm like, "Yeah. But God got me out." God gets us out. Okay? So remember the things that we came from, because it's good. And those things that happened to us, you know what? I truly believe they were there for a reason. Things happen for a reason in our lives. Bad stuff of life happens to us too. Okay? This body's temporal. Brother Bob just passed away. All right? He's in glory. Someday we will be in that glory too. But we live in a fallen, depraved world. We have to be aware of that. And again, get our worth from Jesus Christ. Rest in his joy, his grace, his comfort that we have in this salvation. I'm going to read Ephesians one more time. And this time I want you to kind of personalize some of the words, okay? When I say us, go to you, all right? Make it you. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, you, okay? He loved you. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, my trespasses, made us, you, alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with him and seated you with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us, you, in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved by faith. It is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. I love taking God's word and praying it and personalizing it to myself. You should do that sometime. The Psalms are a great way to do that too. It's cool. It makes me realize my worth in Christ. Are we unworthy? What's your answer to that? Yes. But we are not worthless. You are not worthless. I am not worthless. Thirdly, we want to run the race. Hebrews 12:1, the last third of Hebrews 12:1 says, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. The Apostle Paul talks a lot, no, Paul didn't write Hebrews, but Apostle Paul also talked a lot about running the race, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but if I find myself for too long not being in God's word, if I find myself too long and not in some sort of prayer time with him or meditation time with him, if I find myself too long not fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ like this, I get myself wrapped up into what I call stinking thinking. Everyone heard that term before, stinking thinking? If I start reading books, and I like to read, I'm a big reader, you know, and but sometimes I like to just kind of like have downtime, you know, like brain shut off times I read. It's like detective novels and westerns, all right? You know my secret. It's my dirty secret, all right? You know, but if I spend too much time reading westerns or detective mysteries, I mean, what's that doing for me, all right? It's okay to do it, but not if I'm putting down the Bible to do it, all right? If I get myself too wrapped up in the things of the world, my worth in Christ can diminish, not actually diminish, but what goes down is my human side. It'll kind of diminish within itself, okay? Because I'm going to fill myself up with the things of the world or other things and not of Christ. Again, if I go with the people who don't know or love Jesus too much, and you have to work out with those people or be with those people because they're all around us, and we want to be because we need to preach to them. We need to evangelize to them. We've got to tell them about Jesus Christ. That's all good. But don't go to places like I was talking about that party that was going on last night that I didn't go to, all right? Because that can warp my thinking or my ways. I need to be doing things for Christ, and I pray to do the things that he would will me to do. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I fail all the time. I'm always falling down on my face. I'm always doing the things that I shouldn't do. Or I'll say the thing that I shouldn't be saying. Does that change my worth in Christ when those things happen? No, I've got the same worth in Christ. All right? May have to do a little confession, ask for a little forgiveness here and there. But God knows my heart. He knows your heart. As Christians, do we have it perfect? No, not at all. We strive to do what he would have us do. Okay? We don't do it perfectly. But as we do the things of God, as we do the reading of the Bible, as we fellowship with brothers and sisters, as we pray, our internal worth will grow in Christ and cause things of the world to fade. And our cup becomes full. It becomes overflowing with the grace of love and God. You know, those of us who've gone on a mission trip, you guys are going to risk Black people go on the rescue mission here. You go to the rescue mission, and you might be going like, oh, it's got to go to the rescue mission. Oh, I should have never signed up for that darn thing. I'm busy with this or that. But you go because you said that you would do it. You go there. You walk in those doors. You serve those people. You're encouraging to them. You're loving on them. And all of a sudden, what happens? All the little junk thoughts and stuff, they're gone. Because instead was filled up the worth of Christ as you're serving Christ in that situation. Not about our worth at all. It's about His worth, is it not? It's about His worth. Now, the race that God has for each one of us is different, right? Can't all be the same. He didn't make little robots to go in this world. We all have different strengths, abilities, gifts that He gives us to build the whole worth of His church. Remember, we're told that the church, we're the body of Christ, right? We all have different parts of that body that we do. And together, the full worth of Christ is shown to the people of the world. God uses us in the way He wishes and has planned. I was reading in Numbers last week, and I was going the first 11 chapters of Numbers, and they're pretty boring sometimes. It's about a lot of numbers. And so I'm reading through this, I'm kind of blanking out. Do you ever do that when like you read something, you kind of blank out? Ever do it when you read the Bible and you blank out? It's okay, because I do it too sometimes. Like, you know, kind of get numbed, okay? Just let me get through this. But all of a sudden, as I'm going through some of the verses, I'm coming and says, God speaking to Moses says, I want you to use so-and-so, the father of so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so to do this. And I want you to use this guy, I'll make up a name, Joab, pretty good biblical name, to, you know, and use his sons. And all of a sudden I realize he's naming these men's sons. God knows them. God knows them. Intimately. Intimately, He knows you. Intimately, He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows when He needs to stretch us. He knows when He needs to chastise us. He knows us. And how awesome is that? In sales, I try to know the names of course, my customers very well. Even if I don't see them for a year or two, I'll go, hey, Dick, how you doing? Good to see you again. You know, how's your wife, Barbara? And Dick will go, holy moly, I haven't seen this guy in 2 years. He knows my name and my wife's name too. And how good he feels because of that, because I gave him worth because I knew his name and his wife's name. God knows your name, and because of that, one of the reasons you also have worth because of him, because he knows you intimately like that. That's cool stuff. He knows before our salvation, and he knows us as his child. You know your own children, do you not? Who's ever had it where, you know, you got your young kid, you're in the store, and you hear this crying going on? You can tell if it's your kid or not, can't you? I can always tell when it was my kid crying or if it was someone else's kid. I'm like, woohoo, good, someone else's kid, I'm good. My kid's like, my son, all right, TJ, what'd you do now? But he knows us as his child, intimately. Our worth, your worth, my worth is in him. Don't go by the world's warped sense of worth. Go by the worth in you from God. Let me say something too. Our worth is exactly the same, whether you're a 9-year-old believer or a 99-year-old believer. It is the exact same worth. My worth is no greater than yours, and yours is no greater than mine. Our worth is the same to God. The apostles' worth is the same as it is to us too. Okay? See what I'm saying here? We are all on the same equal ground, that we are all children of God. Who do we raise higher? Only God himself. Talked about that in Bible study. God who was raised high, high and mighty. You see your brothers and sisters here. You look around. They're your equal. They're your brother. They're your sister. They have the same worth as yours. Ephesians 2:5 said, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive together. Okay? We are God's family. We are together. We are all bought at the same price that Jesus paid for us at the cross of Calvary. The race we run, though it might be different, is the same because it's a race that God sets before us. Your race is your race. 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 My race is my race. But it's all the same because it's God's race he sets before us. You're part of God's team. And God's team is important to every member. Doesn't matter if you're the preacher, worship leader, okay? If you're a teacher, if you're a Bible scholar, if you're a missionary, if you're the person who sharpens pencils, it's all the same. All the same. We all have the same importance to God. So don't ever belittle yourself or think that you're not worthwhile enough because you can't do something that some of the other of us can do. Okay? We all have the same worth. My race path has changed since I first became saved 30 years ago. And it's changed throughout my course of my Christian life. It's changing again, actually. Okay? And that's okay. Your path, your Christian life is going to change here and there too. That's okay. Sometimes the path is going this way. Also, he's going to put us over this way, okay? As long as we stay on that path that Christ has us on, that's okay. None of that changes our worth in Christ. But let me also say one thing. Christians never retire. We never retire. We may get older. We may get not as much energy. But we don't retire. Our way that we run the race, the way that we do ministry might change. We still do that ministry the way that he would have us do it. Beloved, the world runs away from Jesus. You with me on that? But when we, as his children, run the race. We are running toward him. We are running toward him. And we look to the finish line that we can fall into the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ and rest forever in his joy, peace, and comfort and say the words, I long, I know you long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You're all full of worth. Amen.